When I was younger, I loved to watch the Disney classic Dumbo. A circus-performing mother elephant has an adorable baby elephant. But Dumbo has one major flaw: gigantic ears. Soon his mother passes, and Dumbo becomes a clown elephant in the circus. He makes a friend in Timothy, a circus mouse, who suggests that Dumbo could become a huge star if he would open up his ears so he could fly. Dumbo disagrees until Timothy gives him a magic feather. Dumbo wants desperately to get away from the clowns, so he grabs the magic feather and takes a leap of faith. Sure enough, Timothy is right. Dumbo flies and becomes the star of the circus, because who has ever seen an elephant fly? Months go by, and Dumbo continues to fly, holding on to that magic feather that keeps him afloat. One day, a wind comes in and blows away the magic feather. Dumbo is terrified and begins to fall. Timothy saves the day, telling Dumbo that the feather was not what allowed him to fly. Dumbo could already fly. Dumbo believes him and flies on his own. Each of us hold beliefs that we feel we need in our lives to function. These beliefs inform who we are and how we interact with the world. So how do we interact with each other when these beliefs differ? The Corinthian church had a lot of questions about the practical applications of their faith. And when they didn't know the answer, they would turn to Paul. Much of what we read in 1 Corinthians is Paul's response to the controversies that the Corinthian church had written him about. So let's read what they asked, or Paul's response, from 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 6. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. When Jeff first told me I was preaching on this passage, my response was, well, thanks, Jeff. It's a difficult one. But as we read this first letter in his response, this passage seems quite irrelevant to us here in 2017. But if you went to the butcher shop in Roman times, most likely the meat you would find for sale had been sacrificed in a pagan temple. And any dinner party would serve meat that had been butchered to the host's favorite idol. So the question at stake here is bigger than, can I eat meat? It is a moral question. If I, as a Christian, eat this meat, am I participating indirectly in the worship of idols? Can I eat a heathen sacrifice and remain a good Christian? There were three beliefs at the time about sacrificed meat. The first was that the spirits of the pagan gods were absorbed into the meat, and that the Christians would be possessed by demons if they ate it. The second belief was held by those who had formerly been involved in pagan worship. Although they didn't think they would be possessed, they simply wanted nothing to do with their lives before Christ. The third belief was Christians who understood that the idol was a block of wood or stone, and had no power over the meat, and therefore cannot contaminate it. Ideas are important, but people are more important. Love matters more. Paul belonged in the group of the third opinion. Paul could have pushed his opinion and said that those who had a problem eating the meat should get over themselves. He could have argued against those in the second group, that they could eat the meat as a sign to the world that the pagan gods had no power over Christians. But instead, Paul introduces an important principle before he ever deals with the topic. We all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. This is so true in all of our lives. Think about the things that we each know a lot about. It could be cooking, investing, quilting, football, maybe even politics. It is easy to look down on others who are not as informed as you. Knowledge puffs us up. The same goes for us spiritually. Think of the Christians like Paul, who knew that those idols held no power. Do you think they could look scornfully at those who would not eat the meat? There are some behaviors that the Bible explicitly condemns, such as murder or theft. We do not get to exercise our freedom in Christ in these areas. But not every area is addressed, and it is here that we find division, even among Christians. For example, what is our stance on Sabbath or alcohol? What about the church's response to women preaching, illegal immigrants, or even those who identify as LGBTQ? When we find ourselves among differing convictions, we must ask ourselves, am I responding with what I know, or am I responding with love? Being right matters, but relationships matter more. Love matters more. After laying out this principle, Paul reminds the Corinthians that those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. The Corinthians loved God, and Paul prioritizes that love over their knowledge. Accumulating facts about God is not enough. We must also love God. We are each called into intimate relationship with God, and in this relationship, God reveals himself to us as we open up ourselves to God. Paul reminds the Corinthians that idols are nothing, for there is only one God worthy of worship, God the Father and Jesus Christ. All things have come from him, and we find our life through him. Paul suggests that just as the Godhead is one, so we should seek to be one in the body of Christ. But to seek unity in the church, we must understand that love is more important than freedom. Freedom matters, but love matters more. This love that matters most has everything to do with what we've been seeking as a church this year, patience and kindness. Just a few chapters later, in chapter 13, Paul goes on to remind the church of Corinth just what this love for each other should look like. The word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because we don't know everything, love has to matter more. If we don't have love, we are nothing. Without love, we can follow every rule in the book and live perfect lives, but it will not matter. Behavior matters, but love matters more. And this is how we love one another, with patience and kindness. This love is never motivated by envy, pride, or self-seeking behavior. We will know this love is from God because that love will always protect, trust, hope, and persevere. Loving one another will always involve helping the other deepen their relationship with God. Paul once again brings up the relationship of love and knowledge. Knowledge is fleeting. Now we know in part, but someday we will know. And we will know when we ourselves have become fully known in relationship with God, a relationship based in love. Truth matters, but love matters more. As we engage each other, the church, and the world, we may be right. We may know more than anyone else in the room. But love is the most important. Relationship is at the center of who God is, and our rights are less important than the love that God has called us to love into. Our knowledge matters, but love matters more.